Glad to see everyone back this evening. This evening we're going to be talking about some things or some people that we read about in the book of Luke. The title of tonight's sermon, or this evening's sermon, is Luke's Praiseworthy Publicans. Luke's Praiseworthy Publicans. As we read through the book of Luke, we read of three in particular. We read, of course, of Levi, or who we better know as Matthew. We read of the prayerful publican in Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14, as Jesus tells the parable of the Pharisee and the publican going up to pray. And then, of course, we read of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus being the penitent publican that we read about in Luke 19. As we get into this study, I want us to remember who publicans were, or what exactly they were. And remember that as we go through this, just because one was a publican didn't necessarily mean that he was Jewish. Although most of the time of which we read of a publican in the Bible, they are Jewish in those instances. Now, a publican was an official who collected duties or customs or tariffs for the Roman government. And often how that would work would be that the publican would receive his right or position by being the highest bidder to the Roman government for that position. In other words, it's using a round number. Let's say that he was told the Roman government, I'll give you 100 denarii to be able to be in this position. And he happened to be the highest bidder. And so in order for him to meet that, he would have to give them 100 denarii. And the only way he made any money was to collect 100 denarii and more. And he got to keep whatever passed that 100 denarii that he kept. Now, they also paid a fee for the right to collect customs along certain roads. Now, collection of fees required a thorough inspection of all goods being brought into a particular city. Let's say that you were a merchant and you were coming into a city. You had to go see the publican, or the publican would come see you. He would inspect all of your goods, and then you would have to pay a tariff or a tax upon what you were bringing in to sell. And as I said, the publican's salary was whatever he had collected above the amount for which he bid for the job. Now, the rate of collection was arbitrary. It was vague, it was indefinite, and so the position was liable to extortion and abuse. And in many cases, publicans were dishonest, and as such, were held in contempt by the people. Now, you can imagine how the Jews might feel about a fellow Jewish man becoming a publican. They were outcast. Now, publican or publicans appears 22 times in the New Testament. And it's generally associated with position of contempt. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 46 and 47, Jesus makes mention of the publicans. And speaking of them in a negative sense, he says, do not even the publicans do the same. In Matthew 9, he makes again mention of the publicans, speaking of them in the same sentence, in the same connotation as sinners. As a matter of fact, the phrase publicans and sinners appears in Matthew 9, 10, and 11, as well as Matthew 11, verse 19. In Matthew 18, he's talking to his disciples, he says, let him be unto you as a heathen and publican. In Matthew 21, 31, and 32, he refers to publicans in the same breath as harlots. Not a very good or favorable connotation associated with publicans, is there? However, in Luke's gospel account, we find three instances, the three that we mentioned, where publicans are held up as examples for good, and our study tonight will examine those three men. Let's first examine Levi, or who we may refer to as the pursuing publican. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I want you to read with me beginning in verse 27. Luke 5, beginning in verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now here we have, as I said, who we better know as Matthew, referred to here by Luke as Levi. He was called Levi before Jesus ever called him. Now the name Levi means joined, but the word Matthew means the gift of God. In Luke 5:28, notice what Matthew does. He pursued, in a manner, he pursued Christ. Jesus simply said two words, follow me. And notice what Matthew does. The Bible tells us in verse 28, he left all, rose up, and followed him. Notice what happens here. He left all. How did the publican make his money? Notice where Matthew was. Notice where Levi was to begin. He was at the receipt of custom. Anybody coming through the gate into the city, they had to go right by his desk, so to speak. He had to inspect their goods, and he collected his money from them. He left all. He left his profession. He left what many considered to be a dishonest profession. Why? Because Jesus said, follow me. Notice as well that he rose up. It's backwards, isn't it? Wouldn't he have to rise up before he could leave all? No. Remember we talked about the Macedonians briefly this morning. They had first given themselves to the Lord. When Jesus said, follow me, he recognized the command. And in his mind, in his attitude, in every fiber of his being, he had already left everything behind. And then his body followed his mind, he rose up. And then watch the conclusion of verse 28. And followed him. He obeyed the command. Oh, that there were more Matthews in the world, in the church today, that would obey the simple command of Jesus Christ to follow him. In Romans 12, 1 and 2. We read there that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We are to give ourselves wholly unto God. How do we do that? As we mentioned of Levi or Matthew just a moment ago, he had his mind made up that when Jesus said, follow me, he did just that. The renewing of our mind. He was a new man. And he followed after Christ. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want you to notice with me verse 5. Here Paul is, remember the Macedonians. Paul is here speaking of the Macedonians, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. Notice what they did and what he's trying to do with the Corinthians here. And this they did, speaking of the Macedonians, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What is Paul saying of them? Not as we hoped. They did much more than Paul and the other apostles hoped that they would. They gave themselves first to the Lord. He echoes those sentiments in Philippians 1, 20 through 21. Oh, that we had more Matthews in the world and in the church today. Another praiseworthy publican that we read about in Luke is found in Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, I want you to read with me verses 9 through 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What's the purpose of this parable. Now, verse 9 tells us just what the purpose is. Verse 9 says, he spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves, and they thought themselves righteous. Notice what Jesus does here. He teaches the blessing of humility and the danger of pride. Now imagine the attitude of the Pharisees toward their brother versus their attitude toward the publican. The prayer of the Pharisee wasn't really a prayer at all, was it? He was lifting himself up before God. It was a bragging list, so to speak. He admitted no sin. He showed no humility. He confessed no need, and he sought no mercy. Isaiah lets us know what kind of attitude that is. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, he says there that our righteousness, when we feel ourselves righteous in our own eyes, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Filthy rags. Friends, the Bible nowhere speaks well of pride. Nowhere does it speak well of pride. In Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, the Proverbs writer, Solomon there, refers to pride as an abomination. In Proverbs 16 and verse 18, he says that pride precedes destruction. In Proverbs 21 and verse 4, he simply says, pride is a sin. It's a sin. But friend, notice the contrast between that Pharisee who was prideful. That Pharisee that lifted himself up by his own righteousness, how he felt that he was, and the publican. He was a Pharisee on one hand who was brazenly lifting his eyes and his arms toward heaven, and yet the Pharisee standing afar off says he could not even lift his eyes that way. He smote his chest and he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You see the contrast. The pride on the one hand, the humility on the other. And as such, Jesus says what? This man, the publican, not the Pharisee, the publican went down to his house justified. What a lesson we can learn here from this prayerful publican. That lesson of humility and asking God for mercy upon our souls. But then the third one. Third publican of whom we read is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. We often take this account with our children and we make it into a song, talking about Zacchaeus being a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Think about that song. If that doesn't bring a smile to your face, I don't know what will. Thinking about Zacchaeus, this small man of stature, doing all that he could just to see the Lord. He had no hope of speaking to him. He had no hope of touching him. All he wanted to do was lay his eyes upon him. Almost like a child looking up to one of his childhood idols, so to speak, his hero. And here's a grown man just wanting to see Jesus. Let's look at the account of Luke 19, beginning in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus just wanted to see the Lord. But he got so much more. Notice what the Lord does there. Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord, wanted to know who he was. He'd heard much about him. Jesus' fame had gone throughout the countryside. So Zacchaeus wanted to lay his eyes upon him. But Jesus already knew Zacchaeus, didn't he? Called him by name. Zacchaeus, come down. For I'm coming to your house. Think about the impact that must have had on Zacchaeus. He never before laid eyes upon Christ, and here Christ calls him by name. Do you think there was any doubt in Zacchaeus' mind at that point as to who Jesus was? As to who Jesus claimed to be? So Zacchaeus came down from the tree. He made haste. He went and had supper with the Lord. But notice this about Zacchaeus. This penitent publican. Now remember what we said about publicans. The only way that they made money was how? Basically extortion. To take money that above and beyond what they had pledged to the Roman government. So that's how Zacchaeus had to gain his living. And notice that the Bible says of Zacchaeus that he was what? Poor or rich? He was rich. But notice what Zacchaeus says here. He says, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken falsely from any man, I will restore him fourfold. Does that show penitence on the behalf of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a penitent publican. Friends, let that be a lesson to us. When we do wrong, and we know it, let us make those things right, as Zacchaeus did. Let's be penitent as Zacchaeus was. One great lesson that I love from Zacchaeus. Well, we've hit it on a couple of times already, but it's just his pure determination. To go so far as to climb a tree. Just so he might see Jesus. What are some principles from these publicans? Friends, one of the things that we can learn from all three of these men, from Matthew, from the prayerful publican, from Zacchaeus, is that we can live right in a wicked world. Here these men were in a wicked profession. They were in a profession, they made their living in what was widely regarded and known to be dishonest. And yet, what do we see from all three? Humility. A desire to do right. Friends, we have evil, we have a wicked world all around us, and yet what we can learn here from Matthew, from Levi, from that prayerful publican, from the penitent publican Zacchaeus, we can live right in a wicked world. And friends, we learn as well that God desires all men to be saved. Jesus Christ called a publican to be an apostle. And notice what Levi did. He left all, he arose, and he followed him. He left it all. God desires all men to be saved. And accordingly, friends, no one is above, no one is beneath the saving message of the gospel of Christ. Let us learn these lessons from Luke's praiseworthy publicans. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We'll be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, do you have a desire tonight to be like Matthew? Give yourself over to the Lord and obey His gospel. You see, Matthew left everything behind. He had an opportunity for riches and he left it behind. He wanted to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Would you be a Christian tonight? Would you put Christ on in baptism? Be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins? Friend, have you done that? Have you fallen away? Would you come home? Would you be as Zacchaeus and make those things right? Friend, if you have that desire, if you have that need, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?